Those were Jesus' words. Those were my words as a little child, as a kid, not really little, but a teenager, as I was down in the basement of my townhouse, and I discovered some string. And I discovered that we had teleposts in our basement, about four of them. And I discovered what fun it could be to tie a string to one telepost and then wind it through every single thing that I could find. I created my own little maze downstairs. I think it took me about an hour. And then I heard my mother coming down. She was not pleased. She was coming down to wash the laundry, and she could not get to the laundry room. And you can imagine, as a child, thinking you did something awesome and great, to find out that that was not so awesome and great. Mom, forgive me. As soon as you clean up this mess. Many have done things and not known what they were doing. I was having fun, creating a maze, but I didn't know that what I was doing was going to cause a problem. Many have not known what they were doing, but we are here on Good Friday celebrating that Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. Some of the greatest discoveries were by accident. The microwave was discovered by a man by the name of Percy Spencer. In 1946, he was working on a radar-related project for Raytheon Corporation when he discovered that the chocolate bar in his pocket had melted. He had been testing a new vacuum tube, and when he aimed it at an object, it heated up, and he discovered microwave energy. Did you know the first microwave was 750 pounds and stood 5'6"? How many of you ladies would like to have that in your kitchen? Did you know the pacemaker was discovered by accident? Wilson Greatbatch, in 1956, was building a heart rhythm recording device and installed an ill-fitting resistor to complete the circuitry and noticed that the circuitry began to emit electrical impulses. The pulses made him think of the timing of a heartbeat and his previous interest about stimulating the heart if it were to break down. In 1958, the first version of the pacemaker was inserted into a dog. What about X-rays? In 1895, German physicist Wilhelm Röntgen was working with a cathode ray tube and discovered that a nearby fluorescent screen would glow whenever the tube was turned on and the room was dark, even though the tube was covered. Röntgen tried to block the rays, but most things would not block the rays from lighting up the screen. He then put his hand in front of the tube and noticed he could see the bones in his hand on the image of the illuminated screen. The X-ray was born. Here's a super important one. Originally designed by Joseph and Noah McVicker, it was designed to be wallpaper cleaner, removing soot from the coal fires used to heat homes in the 1930s. The introduction of vinyl wallpaper made the rolling modeling clay obsolete because vinyl wallpaper could simply be cleaned with what? With water. So before going out of business, a nursery school teacher by the name of Kay Zufall used the product in class to make decorations, and the children loved it. The McVickers removed the detergent, added coloring, and Play-Doh was born. Penicillin, insulin, cornflakes, Velcro, super glue, vulcanized rubber, Teflon, radioactivity, sweet and low, Viagra, and LSD were all accidental discoveries. The lesson is this. What was found was not what people were looking for. They did not know that what they were doing was going to lead to something great. And Jesus said before he was to be crucified, "Father, forgive them, because they do not know what they are doing." This is simply the greatest truth and the greatest understatement ever made. Those people did not know what they were doing. Even though they had the scriptures and their teachers and their scribes and their Pharisees and the Sadducees, they knew the law. They knew that the Messiah would someday come. But Jesus did not look like the Messiah. He came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. He didn't come riding into Jerusalem on a horse. The vehicle, the animal of war, the animal of royalty. But instead he came riding into Jerusalem on a beast of burden. Sure enough, he was causing a riot and causing a stir in the community of Israel because he was doing these amazing things. He was healing people of blindness, healing people of being mute and deaf. He even raised people from the dead. But this could not be the Messiah, because the Messiah was to be a king. He didn't dress like a king. He had no shapely form that we would recognize him as royalty, except we scoffed him, scorned him. We looked down upon him. But for some reason, the people loved him. Jesus wasn't what the people were looking for. He wasn't what the religious rulers and scribes and Pharisees were looking for. He wasn't what the Romans were looking for in a king, in a ruler. This is who? They say you're a king. The people did not know that what they were doing in crucifying Jesus was going to lead to something great. Their own salvation. What did the religious leaders and Israelite people believe? What did they believe that they were doing? Well, Scripture says in Luke 23:2-14, says they were putting to death one who was subverting the nation of Israel, subverting the people. That he was opposing payment of taxes to Caesar, and that he was declaring himself Messiah, a king. As far as they were concerned, they were putting to death a false prophet, a false Messiah. Even though the signs were there that Jesus was divine, is a king. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He brought a girl back to life. He healed the deaf, the blind, the mute. He simply said, "Stand up and walk." And people walked. Have we ever believed that what we were doing was right, but it ended up being wrong? Or did we ever end up doing something wrong that turned out so right? The fact is, Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. John 19, 28, 30 says this. After this, when Jesus knew that everything was now accomplished, that the scripture might now be fulfilled, he said, I'm thirsty. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. He didn't say, to be continued. He said, it's finished. What needs to be done has been done, has been fulfilled. The scriptures have been fulfilled. I have completed my Father's will, my Father's work. And then the scripture says, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to be doing and what he was doing and what he was looking forward to as he rode into Jerusalem. He said to the disciples three times that we're going to get to Jerusalem and I'm going to suffer and I'm going to die. And they said, oh no, never. We'll never let that happen. We will surely die with you. Peter said, no, Peter, you're going to abandon me. Like everyone else in this room, you're going to abandon me. They will strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Jesus knew he was going to be counted as an outlaw. He stated so in Luke chapter 22, verse 37. For I tell you, what is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was counted among the outlaws. Yes, what is written about me is coming to its fulfillment. I don't know about you, but I want to be counted among the outlaws. We're singing about an outlaw in this world. Someone who doesn't walk in step with the ways of this world. If you're not walking in the ways of the world, but walking in the ways of God, you're a rebellious soul, you're an outlaw, and you're counted with Jesus. Jesus knew that him telling humanity he was the Savior, the Messiah, would make no difference. He would have to die for us to open our eyes. Luke 22, 67 to 71 says, they said, if you are the Messiah, tell us. But he said to them, if I do tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God. They all asked, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you say that I am. Why do we need any more testimony, they said, since we've heard it ourselves from his mouth? Jesus knew it would make no difference to them if he told them he was the Messiah or not, because he would have to die to open our eyes. Jesus knew the testimony of his suffering and death would have to be made so that man would believe in him as the Messiah. John 13, 19 to 20, I am telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he. I assure you, the one who receives whoever I send receives me, and the one who receives me receives him who sent me. Do you ever have that experience with your parents? That they warned you about something would happen if you did something? And what did you end up doing? You ended up doing the something. And then the something happened. And then you come back to him and say, yeah, the something happened. Well, did you do what I told you not to do? Yes. Jesus says, I'm telling you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you'll believe in me. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be hit. I'm going to be spat on. I'm going to be chained, and I'm going to die on a cross. And when that happens, and it will, Will you believe in me? Will you believe in me? John 14, 27 to 29, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Your heart must not be troubled or fearful. You have heard me tell you, I'm going away and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. I've told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you may believe." Do you believe? Do we, church, believe? I'm assuming we do, because we're here on Good Friday to remember what Jesus did. Jesus responded to them, "Do you now believe? Look, an hour is coming and has come when each of you will be scattered to his own home and you will leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world." The cross is an instrument of destruction, but in Jesus' hands is an instrument of conquering, of success, of victory. Father, they do not know what they do. Forgive them. Jesus knew that without his suffering, there would be no future for man with God. Again, Peter says to Jesus in John 13, 6-8, he came to Simon Peter, who asked him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you don't understand now, but afterwards you will know." "You will never wash my feet, ever," Peter said. And Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." We have some bowls set up front. And the purpose of those bowls is to symbolize that Jesus has washed our sins away. I'm simply, when it comes to the time we're going to have communion, and the way it's set up is simply ask you to come up. And if you're coming up with his family or friends or as the church body of brothers and sisters, you simply come to the front. From this side, come around and wash one another's hands. By this, people will know that you love me if you love one another. And as a reminder, disciples, I'm going to wash your feet. But Jesus, if you could never do that. You're the King, you're the Messiah. Peter, if I never wash you, you have no part of me. Hebrews 9:22 says, "Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Good Friday is the day that Jesus forgave man's sins on the cross and shed his blood. Good Friday is all about the salvation of man found at the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I'm going to ask our music team to come up. And as they do, we're going to partake of communion together. We're going to break the bread and the wine. But like I said, I'm going to first ask you to come this way on the side. And would you not wash one another's hands? As you do that, you simply come across and partake together of communion. If you're in a family, do so in a family. If you're a couple, do so as a couple. If you're by yourself, join somebody else and take communion together. But let's do this together. In remembrance of Him. Our Savior did not say goodbye. He said, wait, I will rise again. And I will return. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for being here with us. Thank you for giving your Son. Jesus, thank you for taking up our cross. Thank you for dying for our sin and doing your Father's will, doing your Father's work, and sending your Spirit until that day we see you again. Thank you for the cross. Thank you that we did not know what we were doing, but a great thing came out of it. Salvation. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Forgiveness and defeat of death and the curse. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Have a good Friday. Sunday's coming. We're dismissed.